Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How are you now, broadcasting from the studios of Sydney in Gadigal country? It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast, Season 8, Episode, I don't know, I think it's 10 or 11, I don't care. Remember, if it's talked about enough, it's a thing. This show is brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange, giving you access to over 3,000 mutual funds anywhere in the world. Not anywhere, but most part of the world. Anywhere that's interesting in the world. AMFX.com, check it out now if you want access to any of those mutual funds. It's pretty cool, and thank you very much to them. A reminder that all the advice contained is general in nature in this show. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. I am one of those people. I know. Please don't judge me. James Whelan, investment manager at VFS Group. I'm a white male, aged 42. I'm wearing jeans and a blue zip-up top thing that I think I got from Gazman because I'm a 70-year-old man. I'm joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investment. Heath, how are you now? What are you wearing?
Not much, just a polo and some shorts, etc. But I don't want to hear dissing Gazman. Oh, I love Gazman.
We've slid down the slope, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm the other side of 40 now, so I'm allowed to wear Gazman.
That's what I did. That's exactly what I did. I went I opened the Gazman in my local plaza in Northbridge Plaza. I was just like, these are really good.
Yeah,
I'm really cheap. In this economy.
I'm no dummy. You get your points and vouchers. It's fantastic. You can look professional at a decent price.
Now, I show
Gazman, if you want to sponsor the show, give us a call.
We almost lost him as a sponsor, but we got it back, I think. That was pretty good. And hello to Gazman, if you're listening to. Thank you very much for your support of the show, which is coming soon. I showed the lady in the shop how you can size pants without needing to try them on. Do you know how to do it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
So you button them up.
Yeah.
And then you put it over your back like a cape.
Yes.
The two, you wrap the belt bit around, so the top of the pants, if you have scissors, and they should just loosely come very close together.
Okay.
Okay, not too tight, not too loose. And that's that your neck in that ratio is the same as putting them on.
Okay, excellent.
Swear to God.
Right, I'll have to remember that.
Yep. That's the way of just, if you're in a rush and just like, I need pants right now and I don't have time to try them on, do it that way, guaranteed. It'll be close. Okay. Coming up in the show, we've got a real quick one because I've got to go down to the jewelers to get a ring resized, actually. So that's going to be my good little time down there to get that done. It's always good to catch up with my jeweler as well and find out what's going on in the industry of metals and things like that. I got a ring made for my wife for her birthday a couple of months ago.
Beautiful.
And it was a bit big
because
I'm an idiot.
you didn't sneak into the bedroom at night and get it on a piece of paper and
trace inside? No, she wanted it on a new, different finger.
Ah, okay. Yep, that makes sense.
And I've had to try and fit it and judge it. And she knew it was coming, right? But I just had to try and get this thing sorted out. Anyway, so it's always good talking to her because she was just like, you know, the sapphires are, you know, the same price as fine. She said, you know, the real cost increase in this ring, the gold. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The gold is really the bit that's in there. See, I managed to turn this into a financial markets podcast.
Yeah, and if you'd bought it today, it would have been a little bit cheaper because gold came off last night.
Yeah, I know. But that's the way that it is, mate. Hey, guess what? Speaking of not having much choice to do anything, I sold my Bitcoin at the beginning of the week.
Really? Hasn't it just rallied?
Once again,
because
I'm an idiot. I had to pay for something. I bought a new car. I had to change my cars over, so I bought a new car. Oh, my God. Tell me about the financing, Heath. You want to talk about 7.3% interest rates?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Although I've still seen, I don't know who you dealt with, sorry, but I've seen a lot of the car companies like Toyota, et cetera, are still doing really low rates if you go through their financing departments, like 3-4% along those lines.
Yeah. Serious?
Yeah. I saw something advertised the other day. We're getting to that stage again where, you know, cars are starting to become ample and in full supply.
Yeah.
So you're starting to, you drive along, like in Adelaide, it's Main North Road. You drive down Main North Road and there's car yards lined either side.
Yeah.
And the big sale signs are up there now. And we didn't have that for a few years. It was, you know, you go into a car yard, there's very little wiggle room that they had. But now, you know, all these new cars are coming online. And, you know, second-hand cars have been traded in, so there's ample supply again. So we're starting to see, you know, the world correct itself as it always was going to happen.
That is the way that it goes. What is, as Rob Rennie, just when he said this, like your brain just explodes with the simplicity of that the cure for high prices is high prices.
Yes.
And works easier and more fluid in the commodities market sometimes. But in this case... Yep, in the car market it is. I am now the proud owner of an MG,
beautiful.
One of those cheeky little SUVs, and it's a bit bigger to get down to the farm and that sort of thing. And the Mercedes just wasn't working for that sort of thing. Low profile. It's a young man's car. I'm the other side of 40 now, Heath. I've got to get myself an SUV.
You didn't get yourself a little red convertible?
Well, ever since I was a kid, I've wanted to own an MG. This MG is a little bit different from the one that I had in my head when I was a kid.
Old MGs were beautiful. MGB, classic cars.
Green MGB is exactly what I wanted. And so anyway, technically yes, but technically also no. So now I just got a call from John Athanasio over at Red Leaf Securities literally a few seconds ago before we went to air, talking about they just raised $3 million for JXT.
Okay.
This isn't a paid promotion. He called me and he said, I need you to talk about this, James. They just raised a JXT. Talk about the company. They're in music. They're in tech. It's a small cap. They raised $3 million. You know this better than I do.
No, it rings a bell. Is that the IMDb of music?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the one. I thought I recognised the code.
Yep, that's it, JXT. They're called. This is why I don't do individual stocks at the small cap level. I forgot it 10 seconds after he said. Thank you. They raised $3 million. The whole amount, this is what I do remember, the whole amount was done by the WiseTech guy. Almost the whole amount was done by the WiseTech guy. John is like, yeah, good for John and good for Red Leaf too. Now, don't forget, Red Leaf really supported the show when we first started off. We needed somewhere to sit and John gave us access to his studio. So I'm forever grateful for him just starting it off when we were called the BIP Show back in those days. The whole amount was done by the WiseTech fellow, whatever his name is. WiseTech's turned around, hasn't it? Anyway, different story. And he said, you know what? It's a small tech cap. He's chucked in and plowed in a heap of money into it. This guy, no coverage,
Is he joining the board?
I don't know what he's. Does he need anyway? Whatever. But John's just like, you can't get traction on this stuff. He said, if it's not lithium or artificial intelligence, nobody gives a rat's. I'm just like, well, I don't know. Chuck some AI in there somehow and figure out. I'm not here to solve your problems.
Exactly.
He did say that. Well done them on that raise. It's a stock that I'm just going to have a little look at. My history with small caps, as everyone knows, is not amazing.
No.
I've got a fair amount of before pay. We're profitable on before pay, but we're just waiting for it to. There is a path to profitability for that company, and it's a good way. But that's not one that I'm going to hang my hat on. That one, unfortunately, we seeded that company, so we're doing okay. That's a different story, though. Mate, last night, real quick one because I got to get away.
Yep.
Bank of England, 50 basis points last night. Whew.
Yep. It's not been a good week for the Poms, has it? They lost the first Ashes test. Now the Bank of England slaps another 50 basis points on their home loans.
They declared AFA.
I know.
Next thing you know, 50 basis points. Bang.
Yep.
Just like that.
Drop catches, early declarations. It was just a terrible week for the Poms. But there's nothing better than beating them on their own turf, isn't there?
That is true. It's okay. Well, look, inflation, those numbers are just crazy, what's coming out of the UK at the moment. And raising rates, it seems like last night was sort of the realisation that it's going to be higher for longer. However, I mean, even with Fed sitting on his second day in front of the Senate saying rates are still going to go up, look at what happened to the market last night. Look what happened to big tech. That is painfully resilient. And I don't know.
Think,
do you think this is window dressing? I'm going to let you talk for a bit, mate. I've been chatting my ass off here.
I think England and the UK are an outlier. If you look at everywhere else in the world, even Europe, inflation is coming down. It may not be coming down as quickly as we'd hope, but it's coming down. Whereas, in the UK, you know, that was a real shock how strong that core inflation was. I think with the Fed is it's going to be they'll be on pause, but they'll be hawkish in tone. They'll try and remain hawkish, threaten to raise rates again to keep those yields higher. And really, you know, use their obviously speech and tone to manipulate the market that way. I don't see them raising again. I mean, it would go against history. I think once they've paused, that's the end of the cycle. I don't think they've ever restarted again. Some might want to correct me on that, but I think it would be the first time they've restarted again if they do raise rates.
Okay.
So I think it's more of a hawkish tone and they remain on pause for now.
Okay. What about here?
My thesis.
I've written a thesis about this. Stockhead have 5 days after I sent it to them posted it. So check out my article in Stockhead. It's my thesis on that we're already in a recession. You go first, and then I'll go second.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the other side of that fence here in Australia. I think
you're wrong.
We're in a recession.
Okay.
We'll find out in a few months. A few quarters.
It takes a while for that data to come through.
But I don't think we're in a recession. I don't think we're headed for a recession, a slowdown, you know, even 1% growth, you know, that sort of style of things. But the consumer household budgets are still really solid. We do still have a lot of that fixed interest to roll over into variable, which will impact. And there is a sort of delay with these rate rises and their impact on households. But having said that, we've got about $270 billion of excess deposits still sitting in accounts from COVID. And that's not really been eaten into at the moment. And I know travel and all that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are coming down. People adjust very well here in Australia. We adjust our budgets. We're very good at paying down debt. And wages are still rising at a reasonable pace. So that spending, I think, in the will come back in the fourth quarter. I still think we will see some rate cuts by the RBA, either, you know, November, December, or first quarter next year, on the basis that the economy is just running too slow. And like our previous guest said a few weeks ago, we're muddling through and really need that boost.
Yeah.
But I think the legacy of Powell and Lowe and et cetera, that will be the normalization of rates. And no one will thank them for it, but you know, moving on in decades to come, the fact that we got rates back up to 4-5%, meaning next time we have that recession or that real that black swan event, we can cut them to say 2% instead of 0.
Yes, thank you. So you mean having a higher normal or neutral rate? I call it a normal rate, rate.
Yeah.
No, I got slammed by that jackass. What was his name that did that when I talked about it? I know I always harp on about the Christmas show. I didn't explain myself properly back then. I wish I had. I wish I'd stood up for myself against Colgo and Joe Masters and those people who tried to hit me on this one, just talking about how rates always come down, James. I'm just like, well, okay.
Yeah, they do.
This is at the end of 21.
Also, when Lowe came into his position, rates were at 1.5%.
Yeah.
And they'd cut them to 0.75% before COVID hit. So they really had no wriggle room. The economy was already stalling and struggling. So that's why they'd cut them to 0.75%.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit and they're like, well, we have to go to zero. There's nowhere else to go. And Powell was very similar when he came in.
Oh my God.
Rates were already very low.
Colgo's just posted something on the chat. Colgo's just posted something on the chat. The Macquarie Bank reference rates.
His ears were burning.
Oh my god! I'm looking at the back bank. What do you want to invest in, Heath? Give me a thing that you'd like to do.
Me?
Standard variable. Do you want an investment home loan? There's never been a better time to take out an SMSF loan.
No, I'm not touching any of that at the moment.
How about just a standard line of credit? How about a line of credit? What about a low doc home loan?
I'm very happy with where I live at the moment. Thank you, mate.
14.99% and the standard variable of 8.57%.
Oh wow. Yeah, no, I'll wait. Although
you can sit.
What really, really surprised me during the week was housing approvals in the US were very, very strong. And that's with mortgage rates around 7%. So the consumer there is showing, again, resilience. And we saw that with retail figures a couple of weeks ago as well. But, you know, I think there's a few things over there clouding and making the figures and data look a little bit odd in terms of, you know, their job losses mainly come through the white-collar sector, very wealthy and very highly paid sector. So a lot of these people have a buffer and don't need to go into jobless claims and that yet. So I think there's still a lot to come there. Again, we saw Goldman's push their recession chance down to, 25% or something from
40%. Is that 40%. The States or here? That's in the States?
Over in the States, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Can I theorize my thesis? I'm going to keep saying that because I like that sound. Confidence is obviously, and this is, I'm just going to go through the charts that I've posted. Confidence is obviously down. Adelaide Timbrell has been on here talking about how bad confidence has been for some time. It's right back down almost to that COVID level when everything locked down and everyone's just like, we're all going to die, screw it. But what was never corresponding was consumer spending. And so we had that joke where it was just like restaurants full of people bitching about the economy. It's just like, guys, stop eating out, go home. He's not mucking around. Like I said, last Tuesday was the day when we all realized that he's not screwing around. Exactly. A few Tuesdays ago now, actually, geez, it's a long time ago. And also, talking about low, more than ever, I think that we've got to be playing the man, not the ball on this one. That low's gone. He doesn't go around again. He gets replaced by some ACTU hack.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. I'm gonna treat them nice because, you know, that's just polite. But there'll be some plonky that's coming from the Labor side of things. It's so Phil Lowe is now going to be, you know what, I'm gone now anyway. So I've got to try and think about I do the person playing better than I do the actual economy playing thing. Everyone knows that about me. That he's going to say, well, look, I've got to be the guy who's ratcheted this thing up and saved this thing. Otherwise, I'm not going to get a speaking gig for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be able to sit on the board of the Future Fund. You know what I mean? That's you've got to be a hero now. You've got to set a legacy, and that's where he's going to be right now. And that's what I'm playing for him. That he's going to go hard as he possibly can. He's not mucking around, so that at least he can say, "Hey, I ate the sword, but I got it done." And that's his legacy.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying about normalization of rates. No one will thank them for it. But
The next person's going to look like a hero.
Oh, the Labor and
the Labor hack will look like an absolute hero. Yep.
Yeah. Rates will be stable. It will be. You know, even if we do have a slowdown, there'll be little movement in the rates, and it should be an easier ride. But
And if there's a recession, you blame the last guy for the recession. You're the guy who's easing rates a little bit. Easy. But a big not a boom, boom. Anyway, so consumer spending is coming down. Now, I like the way that you use that chart in your note as well, Heath.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
Everyone's been passing that around. We're looking at delinquencies are going up through the roof as well, that big thick red line. The yield curve has inverted as well, Heath. That's important.
I mean, in Australia, it really is hit and miss with that inversion of the yield curve. Predicting recession, it's not like in the US.
It's not a guarantee. However, it's still inverted. Now, the other one that I got here was the labour force side, and this is sort of on the other side of what you said with regards to that. So Gareth Aird, CBA, head of Aussie Economics, he said that the message we take from the data is the labour market is loosening, but not via the traditional mechanism of an increase in the unemployment rate. Rather, it is loosening via more workers looking for extra hours.
Yep. That makes sense.
That's an economy under pressure.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, so it just goes on and on and on, and that's it. So I'll talk about steer clear of discretionary. I don't know about commodities at the moment, but copper still looks great. Oil actually does look okay from here. Emerging markets, if you want to diversify, India, I can't bang the drum about that enough.
I did talk about India in my notes.
I saw that too, yes.
NDIA, the Global X ETF. Liking India as a longer-term growth story here and having some exposure there. It looks good.
Yeah, it's a closed market. I can bang on about that forever. We should just do an India program, actually. That's where it should go. Okay, Matt, now let's go footy tips and then get the hell out of here.
Yep. What have I got? My Crows, I think Collingwood at the line. So Collingwood at what was the line? I just saw it before. It was like 18.5. Mm. I think Collingwood are going to win by 4 or 5 goals. So Crows haven't been travelling well this year. And whilst we're in decent form, Pies at the G, they've won 13 of their last home games. I just can't see us getting – it will be close for, you know, two, three quarters, but then the Pies will pull away.
Yeah, they're
pretty good at the line.
We got a couple of wins last week, didn't we? No.
I was well off. I thought Gold Coast would beat Carlton at the G, and they got smacked. Carlton really came out and played their best game of the year probably.
Because everyone's hanging on.
I got no injury. It was my first loss for a few weeks, so looking to redeem myself.
I've had back-to-back outsiders. I'm lifting. I'm carrying this outfit. my one, look, I haven't had a whole lot of time to really get into it. It has been one of those weeks for it. But, you know, I sort of like – I think the Roosters are hit and miss, and I think the Raiders are also hit and miss. So let's just, you know, modern portfolio theory to say that if you've got two random events – just pick the one that's going to pay you more. I think that's how it goes. I don't know. I didn't read the book. Give the Raiders 4.5. You get $1.75 for it. Just to try.
Okay? That's a try, yeah. Not a converted try, though, is it?
You are so South Australian sometimes. But anyway.
How are the Rams going? How are those Adelaide Rams going?
The Rams are fine, mate. Yeah, they're coming back next week. That's the best I've got, unfortunately. I'm not 100% confident on it, so don't put a whole lot onto it. If you do, bet with your head, not over it, and all advice in the show is generally nature. Heath, last bids, and then I've got to go and negotiate with this lady. I'm going to get my wife's ring resized, which sounds really funny when I say it out loud. Go on, sorry.
I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
I don't know, just go to the Aussies next Wednesday when we start the second test.
Oh, my God. And they've got like a three-day – it's a two-day backup between the second and third test too.
Yeah, fantastic.
Wouldn't you? Like, you'd hate to be – imagine if you had to bowl the last session. Yeah. You bowl to close the game out and then you lose the toss and you have to go and bowl 2 days later. Okay, mate, that's been great. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Theory of Thing, sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. If you actually want real direct involvement in Indian managed funds as opposed to a general ETF, although the Global X one is good, have a look at amfex.com and you can pick out the individual specialized Indian managed fund that you actually want to know about. That's why I'm so keen on India, and that's why I'm so keen on Amfex as well, amfex.com. Thanks very much, Heath. Have yourself a good weekend and stay safe.
You too. Everyone have a good one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.